4MK and Rob Kidd. Thanks to Todd and the team at Harvey Norman Electrical Mackay.
18 past 7, bit of cloud around today. Top to 23. We've already got 17 degrees down at Queen's Park. 4MK's Police Beat Sergeant Steve Smith from the Mackay Police. Can I say thank you very much for joining us each and every Tuesday?
That's all right. It's a pleasure.
We just mentioned before about being safe on the water. There's going to be a lot more boats out on the water. Race week up in the Whitsundays. Heaps of fisher people in and around Mackay the Whitsundays. I want to find out some rules. If we are going out on the water, what to do and what not to do?
Well, I like to fall back on what I know that the officers focus on, and that's that when they stop a boat on the water, one of the first things they're going to do is identify the person in charge of the vessel, and they are going to put a breath-testing device in front of you almost immediately. So much the same way as we breath-test drivers on the roadside, it's the first thing that they do when they enter any vessel.
Okay.
So forget drinking, drugs, etc., because those same rules apply. Can't be affected by alcohol or drugs when you're in charge of a vessel.
But that's the person in charge of the vessel. So anyone else, you or other people in the boat?
It's the person in charge of the vessel, the person who's operating the vessel. That's the person that we're going to be focusing on initially.
Yep.
Now, after that, provided everything goes well and everyone's licensed and all of those, you know, smaller, lesser things are, the boxes are ticked, we're going to be looking at things like safety and communication. And what they tell me at the offices of the Water Police, they tell me this consistently. So the biggest mistake vessel operators make when they go out on the water is they rely on these wonderful little devices.
Yeah, phones.
Yeah, mobile phone.
Right.
Now, they are great. They can be awesome for keeping in contact and being able to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
Not on the water. Not on the water. So if you rely completely on a mobile phone when you go out to sea, there's a very good chance that if you hit trouble and you pull the phone out to get out of that trouble and you need rescuing, that oftentimes the phone is out of service and you're not going to be able to communicate with anyone.
Yeah, you're
so not close having
to a
tower. That marine radio is very important.
Okay.
So you've heard of the EPIRBs. Everyone's aware of how they operate and the importance of...
We had one go off by mistake a couple of weeks ago when the chopper was going over.
Over the suburbs. Yeah, we see that happen. Sometimes children can play with those little devices and accidentally activate them. Are yours in service? Check them.
Good idea. Yeah.
Or are they expired? Because I tell you what, I couldn't think of anything worse than being in trouble on the water, grabbing the EPIRB, activating it, only to learn that it's out of date and not operational.
Yeah.
So check it now. Mm-hmm. And finally, for being on the water, you know, you've got to have the life jackets, especially, I often say when we stop a car, if we see a child in the car, you might see an extra level of scrutiny from officers because, you know, we all have families, we all have children.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out on the water and we see children on the vessel, it's the same rules. You'll probably see that extra level of scrutiny, making sure that those safety checks are there. Have your life jackets available for everyone on the boat.
But shouldn't they be wearing them, Steve?
They should be. You're exactly. It's like seatbelts. As you stop a car, everyone should be wearing the seatbelts, especially kids.
Because of the shit at the fan, you're not the last thing you want to do.
That's what saves you.
That's one last thing. You've already got it on you.
Yeah, that's what saves you, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So, last week you were out about doing a nice operation on the ring road and pulling over people left, right and centre. What sort of things were you grabbing people for?
Well, I've picked the bones out of this and I really just want to focus on two things. One was really, really good. Really, really good. They started work at about 5 a.m. and they finished at 6 p.m.
Wow.
Good news, not one drink driver caught.
Great. Congratulations.
Not one. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Bad news. Nine drug drivers caught.
Whoa.
So unusual not to see, you know, to see one and not the other. We'll often see a combination of both and some, you know, sometimes relatively high numbers. So nine drug drivers caught, zero drunk drivers caught. And the whole purpose of that day really was always intended as a enforcement and prevention opportunity. So every driver that was stopped, there was a conversation about car theft. And we actually gave them a little pamphlet that related to the security of your car keys and we encouraged them to put that on their fridge at home as a reminder. So over 700 people received those little resources to put on their fridge and over 700 conversations were had about car theft. So, you know, that's a win. And we can only hope that that leads to reduce car theft.
Well, it sort of follows on from that 17-year-old who was in court yesterday, I think it was, after stealing a couple of expensive cars, and then next thing we know, they're burnt out on the side of the road. That's a reminder. We need to lock the key. We need to put those keys in certain places and stop these arseholes doing things to our own cars.
We say it often. If you have a car that was made after 2002, it can't be hotwired.
Okay.
It can't be. It can only be stolen with possession of the car keys. So, you know, that's how important your car keys are. If you leave them in a visible, easier to grab, obvious location that works well for you in the home, so you walk in the door, drop the car keys somewhere, that's easy. It's also easy for them if they're able to enter the home. That's the most common reason they enter your home is to find the keys, steal your car.
Do you reckon the high percentage of people do that? I reckon yes.
I don't know if it's a high percentage. I think the awareness is improving out in the community. People know. I just think that they're more visible. When it happens, it's more visible. We focus on it more. Yep. I like to think that for the crook, it's instead of every five homes that they might enter, they find the car keys. Maybe it's every 15. Maybe it's every 20. I'd like to think we're making it as hard as possible for them.
Yeah.
I love the thought that to think that we're all causing a lot of frustration for them. Doesn't that make you feel?
It makes me feel very good, actually. I tried to help you guys out yesterday, too, when I was up at Canelands up near McDonald's. I saw the hamburger up there.
Yeah.
Didn't see one police officer. As soon as he saw me eating the hamburgers, he hightailed it out of there. So I'm trying to help you guys out as best I can as eating the hamburger at the same time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Have any questions for Steve Smith and our wonderful police officers with the Mackay Police, send it through. Steve, thank you very much for coming in today.
Awesome, no worries.
And if you want to find out more details, jump online at 4mk.com.au. We want to help out everyone around Mackay with Sundays. If you spot any dramas on the roads, something that's happening in your streets, in your suburb, let us know. And let's do the Esme Watson thing. More people looking out for each other. It's got to be good, right? Simple Minds, 4MK.